Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ain't God good? Hallelujah. He surely is. Amen. God bless you, musicians. Nice to be back together again this evening. And looking forward to what the Lord has for us in the meetings coming up tonight and the meetings coming up, of course. And we want to just keep one another in prayer, keep the meetings in prayer. Also, as probably many of you know, there's some pretty drastic weather that's affecting the whole nation. And so we want to just remember our brothers and sisters across the nation, whoever might be traveling, or even people that are at home. There can be some hardships from it. We just ask for the Lord's mercy and grace as this storm system passes. Amen. Hallelujah. You love him?
Amen.
Amen. Just a simple thought here tonight as we're preparing for the meetings next week. 2 Kings chapter 13, and we'll read verses 14 through 20. 2 Kings chapter 13. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died, and Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, my master, who was better to Israel by his prayers than chariots and horsemen? These are the same words Elisha said to Elijah when he was translated. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. Right. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice or three times and stayed or stopped. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. We thank the Lord for his word and ask him to add his blessings to the word. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we come this evening, first of all, Lord, we ask that you'd forgive us, Lord, of our failures, our shortcomings, Lord, our mistakes. We don't want to do things that are not pleasing to you, Lord, but nevertheless, Lord, we know that we still make mistakes while we're here in this flesh, and we ask that you would forgive us, Lord. We ask sincerely. We come to you humbly tonight, Lord, each and every one of us, and bowing before you, Lord. And we ask that you would take your word and speak to our hearts, that you would minister to us, Lord, according to our needs tonight. We love you so much. We're so thankful, Lord, for the testimonies that keep coming of a living God and doing the things that you said that you would do, showing that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, we're rejoicing as we hear these testimonies. And Lord, we know that that is your desire for these things to take place and also for us to testify of these things. And Lord, it just brings an expectation for whatever we have need of, we should be asking and presenting it to you, knowing that it's your good pleasure to give us the things of the kingdom. Bless each and every one that's here tonight, Lord, those that are not with us that are listening in or will be listening in. And Father, we just want to tell you once again how much we love you and we thank you and just surrender everything to you. In the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I want to title the thought here for the next few minutes here tonight, The Arrow of the Lord's Deliverance. The Arrow of the Lord's Deliverance. So in our text tonight, we see that Elisha, the great prophet, he was sick and then he was close to passing on. We would say dying, but you know, Christians don't die. They just go into a place of rest, waiting for the coming of the Lord. And the king of Israel came down at once to see Elisha. It was kind of a humbling act on his part because, you know, here he is, the great king, and he's coming down to, no doubt it was a humble place that Elisha was living in. And he knows that God had used Elisha to bring forth the word to Israel and had done many things for Israel, and that God honored his prayers. And so he had great respect in one sense for God's prophet and a certain element of fear, which is good, though the king of Israel himself was lukewarm. He was backslid. And the king is genuinely sorry that Elisha is about to die because he knew the power of this man's prayer. And he knew the impact that having a major prophet like this on the scene had on behalf of Israel. And Israel would now be without him. And of course, the king would not have a prophet to consult and to lean on and a channel to speak directly to God. So he said the very same thing that that was said when Elijah passed, my master, who was better to Israel by his prayers than chariots and horsemen? In other words, the prayers for Israel much more valuable than chariots and horsemen, which you would use chariots and horsemen to go to war.
Right.
And he's saying, your prayers. Think about it, friends. Oh, we're going to preach tonight. Your prayers are more powerful than armies, than tanks, than bazookas, weapons. Your prayers. So Elisha instructs the king to grab a bow and arrows, and this may seem kind of odd, but those were common weapons of that day that were used in war. And so he instructs the king to put his hand on the bow and to place his other hand on the arrow, I suppose like this. And then Elisha places his hands right upon the hands of the king. And what that signifies to us, friends, is that the hand of the Lord is going to be with the army of the king. And is going to, the shots that are fired, the Lord is going to be behind those shots. And the Lord is going to give them victory. So, and then he tells them to open up the east window. And of course we know that Syria was actually north and east of Israel. So there's a type that I suppose that's being shown in that, but then also we know that the Lord himself will come from the east, and he's our he's mighty in battle, friends. He's the one that we're counting on. He's the one that we're relying on. And so he tells the king to shoot that arrow into the ground. Now this sounds kind of strange, but you know, this this king has dealt enough with prophets to know that God will instruct through the prophets for us to do some pretty odd things at times. And so he knows if this is what Elisha said to do, well, that's what I got to do. Seems kind of foolish, but that's what I'll do because the prophet said so. So he pulls back the bow and he shoots into the ground. And then Elijah tells him that this represents the arrow of the Lord's deliverance for Israel from the Syrian army that's gathered together against them in the city that's called Aphek. So they're not being promised that the entire land of Syria would be conquered, but that the large army, and some think that there was as many as 100,000 that were gathered together, that this large army that is now in the land of Israel, in that city of Aphek, would be conquered. They would be rid of that army. So he then tells them to knock some more arrows. Now, we don't know how many arrows were in the quiver, but I don't know about you. If a prophet told me to knock some arrows and shoot some more arrows into the ground, I wouldn't stop until the quiver was empty, because he didn't tell them how many to shoot. He said, shoot some more arrows. So the king knows that this represents the Syrian army being struck by Israel at the hand of the Lord for deliverance. So he was just told that. So if you were just told, okay, each one of these arrows represents the smiting of that army, I don't know about you, but, you know, call me crazy. I'd want to shoot as many arrows as I could, because it's representing every time that an arrow goes forth, there's a smiting that takes place, and there's a defeat that would take place. So I would rather err on the side of too many arrows, wouldn't you? So he knows that, and no doubt he's probably a little embarrassed, because here he is a king, and he doesn't even really want to do this, but he has enough respect for this prophet, and he knows that God is in this prophet's prayers, and that if he is going to win this battle, that he's got to do what the prophet says to do. And so he's probably a little embarrassed to shoot these arrows into the ground, and so he's probably half-heartedly shooting them into the ground, and not a lot of sincerity, and he only does it three times. And the prophet is angry with him, and the prophet tells him, you know, you should have fired five or six arrows and not just three. Well, you know, that tells me that there was at least five or six arrows in that quiver, right? Otherwise, if there was only three, how could you shoot more arrows if there weren't more arrows? So he shot a partial quiver, and then the prophet is upset with him because he knows what this represents. And he said, you should have done more. You should have went all the way. You should have doubled that. And because you only shot three arrows, you're not going to completely wipe out the enemy's army. And guess what, friends? Syria would attack Israel time and again, because the king did not follow through to ensure victory in what should have been the final battle. This should have been the battle to end all battles. Should have wiped out that army, that great army, and no doubt Syria wouldn't have tried to attack again. First of all, they would have lost all their men, but even after years of trying to rebuild, there would be that fear, and there would be that knowing that we were annihilated. So Brother Branham typed this with the church overcoming the enemy in this last age of Laodicea. God promised us, friends, by the word, complete and total victory. Not partial victory, but in this age in particular, complete and total victory. And he's given us the restored word. That's what we've been missing. We've been missing the fullness of the word. Oh, I've got some thoughts that I'm going to share Friday on at Bible study to really kind of bring that into a perspective a little bit more. We don't even realize what we have. We don't even realize, just looking at the Bible that the church had throughout the ages, they didn't have the Bible throughout the ages. And you'll be surprised when you hear some things about that. But not only do we have the Bible, but we have the revelation. We know what he meant by what he said. We have the author revealing that word. And when that word comes into your heart and the Holy Spirit quickens it, it's the word that does the battle. It's the word that does the fighting. It's not you trying to fight the enemy. It's not you trying to overcome. It's the word in you overcoming. But you got to be willing to shoot that arrow. You got to be willing to put something into action. You got to be willing to surrender and let God use you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So if there was ever an hour, friends, if there ever was an hour in all Bible history, if there was ever an hour to fight, it's this hour.
You say, well, why would this hour be if there was ever an hour to fight, why would it be this hour? Because you can't lose. You couldn't say that in all the other ages. But in this age, the fullness of the word is here. And this word will defeat the devil anytime, any place, and under any circumstance. So there's no room for excuses. There's no room for reasoning. There's no room for putting up with things that God wants us to be delivered of. We don't want to be halfway delivered tonight, friends. We don't want to be a partway delivered. We don't want to be a partial Christian. We sure don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. Somebody say, praise the Lord. If you're truly born again of the Spirit of God, friends, and you're feeding daily on His unfailing words of promise, His word will fight your battle. And His word will give you total victory. There's nothing that can prevail over His word. And He is His own word. So this is an age, friends, as we are very familiar with, this is an age of complete apostasy. This is an age that goes off into complete apostasy. But it's also an age of complete overcoming for others. Not just partial overcoming, but complete overcoming. We're not living in Luther's day when a little light was given to shine upon the word to show the church once again that the just shall live by faith. But even with that one portion of the word through that reformer, there was victory for those that heard it. There was victory for those that embraced it in that hour. And it shook the world. It shook the church world. It shook the political world, the ecumenical world, the religious world. It shook every part of the world. Just one portion of the word coming back into focus, coming back into view. There was deliverance from the religious systems that had bound the church and had conquered the lady by keeping the word from them and giving them instead creeds and dogmas. But with that one revelation, friends, the just shall live by faith. Many were set free from the prison house of organized religion. And they were set free from kissing toes off of statues and doing novenas and praying to dead people. They were set free from false teaching that... They were set free from the false teaching that their salvation was based entirely upon works instead of grace. They were free from having a vicar instead of Christ, someone between them and Christ, standing between them and their high priest. They were free from that. This one revelation. They were free from the 98 or whatever the number was, theses that Luther had nailed to the church door, just step by step by step. This is not the literal body. This is not the literal blood. When we take communion, it's not the literal body and blood. These are symbols, so on and so forth. Right down the list, they were set free from that. They were set free from the backslid, fallen Mother Church of Rome. And the Spirit of the Lord was with them. And the Spirit of the Lord led them and provided for them. And the Spirit of the Lord kept them free from that fallen church that had previously imprisoned everybody. Now, of course, we know that the light of sanctification, that wouldn't come until the next age. And that would come through another messenger, John Wesley. So the true church at that time did not experience the full deliverance that comes from being set free from the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh that still held on to them. But had that light come across their path, they would have walked in that light too. It just didn't come across their path. So what they were walking in, what was brought across their path, they walked in. And they rejoiced. And they were set free. They were delivered. So what we're saying tonight, friends, is that we have more deliverance available to us today than what the church was set free from in Luther's day. And so We should claim and we should receive every bit of deliverance that's ours today, just as they did in Luther's day. And if they were to raise from the dead and live in our day, they'd live this message. In Wesley's day, we know that more light came through the message of sanctification, the second work of grace in the Christian's life. You know, there's three works that of grace that it takes to bring that birth, to birth you into the kingdom. The second stage brings the individual closer to the new birth. You're justified by faith and you're sanctified by the blood. God gives you a new spirit. And that new spirit is a spirit that you can now get along with yourself. You can get along with your neighbor. You can get along with your mate. You can get along with the church. You can get along with God. A spirit that's not enmity with God. A spirit that now has desires for the things of God, for the things of the kingdom of God. A spirit that wants to come to church. A spirit that wants to please God. A spirit that wants to go on. A spirit that wants to be put into service. The desire to walk with the Lord. The desire for the things of the Lord versus the things of the flesh. And those that walked in the light of that age, guess what? They were delivered from the addictions of the flesh. We're not talking baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're talking sanctification. A new spirit. They were set free from the addictions if they walked in it. They were set free from the addictions of the flesh. They were cleaned up and they were set aside for service. One could be free from habits and from addictions and from the worldly deeds of the flesh and be given a spirit, as we said, that can get along with God and everybody else. A spirit that doesn't have people problems. If you still have people problems, you still need a new spirit. And if that sounds flat, I'd rather it sound flat than to lie to you and then have you come to me later and say, "Why didn't you tell me?" A spirit that's interested in spiritual things above earthly things. But the restored word, it did not come in that day. And neither did the restoration of the gifts. Neither did the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the soul. They had the Holy Ghost. Just as the plant, as it's growing up, it has life in it every phase, every step of the way. The church had the life of Christ in it, the true church, every step of the way, but there was no seed that had been formed yet. Now, had more light come in their day, in Wesley's day, they would have been free from being ignorant of the word. And they would have no longer been under a partial word. The word that they were under would not produce a rapture. It was not possible for them to be rapture ready. They didn't have the fullness of the word. But what they had, they walked in. What they had, they fought for. What they had, they made sure that they fully possessed. So whatever deliverance that the Lord was bringing in their day, they possessed it. And they walked in it. If they were living in our day, they'd be saying amen to the word. And we could go on tonight, friends, to talk about the Pentecostal movement and the restoration of the gifts that was taking place in the church, and starting in around 1906, and the gifts that were brought back to the church. Now, recall that before the day of Pentecost, the disciples were justified. They were sanctified. Judas was sanctified amongst them. They had the restoration of the gifts. They were casting out devils. They were laying hands on the sick. The gifts were there. What they didn't have was a new birth. What they didn't, they weren't converted. What they didn't have was the change in a new heart. Their hearts had not been changed. And since their hearts had not been changed, the Holy Ghost could not come down in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost and fill their heart. Because the heart hadn't been cleaned yet. Jesus was going to pay the price for that. That heart was still covered over with sin. And the blood of animal life was covering that so that God was not looking upon that sin. But the sin was there. A price had to be paid for that soul. Once that price was paid, then that old nature, if you would surrender, die out, as Peter did after he denied the Lord and did all these different things, he bottomed out, cried out. And then we see 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, we see that life coming. We see it, that new nature being quickened, and we see a different life being lived. So the restoration of the gifts, that wasn't the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. There was a baptism, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was taking place. But there had to be a restoration of the Word for the Holy Ghost to come and quicken that Word. And friends, that's what's overcoming. That's what's different at this very end of this age. It's that Word in the soul, not in your brain. Of course, you've got to receive it. It's got to pass through that channel, as we looked at. But it's that Word in the soul that's being quickened by the Holy Spirit. And that Word in you is what's overcoming. That Word in you is what's defeating your enemy. That Word in you is not being deceived. But you've got to be feeding on that Word. And if you are born again of the Spirit of God, you are feeding on that Word. If you are born again, you know, there's so much talk. We'll get into it a little bit more. But there's so much talk about what is the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, or how do you know that you have the Holy Ghost? Well, what's most important to you? Just look at that tonight. Is there anything more important to you than the Word? If there is something that's more important to you, you aren't born again. You can be. I didn't put you out. I'm just telling you, you're not born again. Because if you're born from above, your sights are set on above. The very life of Christ is in you. And you are about your Father's business. That is the most important thing to you. It's more important than hunting. It's more important than fishing. It's more important than the Super Bowl. It's more important than shopping. It's more important than skiing. It's more important. If I keep going, I'm going to hit something that is more important. If this is a hardship to come to church, you still need a birth. I didn't say you weren't sanctified, or I didn't say you weren't justified. You can be justified and not sanctified. You can be justified and sanctified and not filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So the question that we need to ask ourselves here tonight, friends, are we walking in all of the deliverance that's available to us in this hour? Or are we settling, say, for Luther's message only? Well, nobody's perfect, and I'm just glad to be saved. Well, that's wonderful. But if that's your testimony, you're living in the wrong age. Because that's only a portion of what's available to us. And there's no birth in that portion alone. It's necessary, but not sufficient. If you are walking in sanctification and you're a good church member, that's good. And you should be that. But there's more. Are we walking in all of the deliverance that's available to us? Friends, what I need to do as your pastor, and what I'm trying to do with everything that's in me, actually what we're trying to do is preach Christ. That's what our messenger preached. We're trying to bring Christ before you. We're trying to tell you about Him. We're trying to introduce you to Him. We're trying to get you united with Him. And the result, friends, when you're quickened by the Spirit, the result is going to be a church without spot or wrinkle. Not sort of without spot or wrinkle, without spot or wrinkle. Not a Lutheran church, but an in-time church. Where there's no charge that you can bring against the church. She has the full Word, and she knows what He wants done with it. We're talking about a super race. We're talking about the continuation of this new race. We're talking about a church that matches him with his very life. We're talking about a super church. What we're talking about goes beyond being a church member. It goes beyond catechisms and creeds and quotes. It goes beyond social. What we're talking about is a people, a supernatural race of people that will be the manifestation of the sons of God before the rapture. A super race. Where are we at tonight? Are we taking God's arrows of deliverance and are we applying them fully in our lives? Or have we just settled down? Friends, the greatest challenge of this hour is lukewarmness. And lukewarmness says good enough is good enough. But it's not good enough. Except you be perfect, you shall in no wise see God. Well, nobody's perfect. Well, then why did he say it? Of course, what we know is mature, complete, grown up. So every one of us ought to be asking ourselves these questions. God, am I walking in all the deliverance that you paid for? That's available right now. Am I embracing the word that's available right now? Or are we just settling for nothing wrong with this. Are we just settling for a shout now and then, a little boo-hoo now and then? Or maybe deliverance from a prison church? God has a whole lot more. Oh, well, I used to be a prisoner of a church and that was the most horrible thing. And now I'm free from that and that's it. No, you were once a prisoner to the world, as all of us were. But it's more than just being delivered from the world. Or from Luther's group, they were prisoners of the church. And they were set free from that. And that was it. But that's all the light that they had to walk in. We've got more. We've got a whole lot more. Are we settling for a few quotes here and there? Are we settling with being identified with a mental understanding? Though that's good. In other words, friends, are we settling for less than what has been given to us? And therefore, are we lukewarm on the things of the kingdom of God in this hour? Oh, don't preach this way. Your prophet's skull. Friends, he preached this message in Shreveport. Started off my good friend in Jack Moore and this, that, and the other. And we're going to the West Coast. There's going to be a 50-year celebration of since what took place on Azusa Street. And I wish we could spend more time here and we've spent more time here than anywhere else, and on and on and on and on. And then before long, he's just ripping their hides right off. He said, this isn't the church that I used to preach to. You're not the same people. Look what has creeped in. And he hammered and hammered and hammered. And it was in love. But it was needed. It was necessary. If we're not careful, we can get some kind of an entitled mentality. Yeah. Now, friends, when we're preaching the word, we're preaching to all different groups. We're preaching to people that are filled with the Holy Ghost and are coming to maturity. We're preaching to people that haven't given their heart to the Lord. We're preaching to people that are accepting the Lord and are justified by faith. We're preaching to people that we're trying to get the fear out of them. Listen, friends, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, a church can't scare you. If you're afraid of getting kicked out of the church, it's because you're not born again. I'm going to preach it. If Christ is in your heart, you can go to a denominational church and still get some feed if that's all you got. We have people sitting here this evening that lived a life and did not compromise on what they believed. And it wasn't a message church. It was all they had. Don't blame the church you came from. Christ is greater than the church he came from. Friends, you can be a Christian anywhere. You can overcome anywhere. If that word is in you, and you are quickened by the Holy Ghost, if the whole world falls away, you're going. Now, if this upsets you, grow up. The problem that, the difficulty that we have preaching to a one-room schoolhouse is that when I'm trying to preach to those to just drive away any bit of remaining fear, they are born-again believers overcoming, and we're telling them, you never did it to begin with. I'm not preaching to the person that's just coming to Christ. Because if you're just coming to Christ, you're guilty. And you need to get saved. You need to give your heart to the Lord. It's not until you come to the other side of that that you can look back and see true predestination. But you don't rely on predestination when you aren't even saved or sanctified. You got to come the same way the rest of us. You got to hear hell is hot. You got to hear that there's a standard. You got to hear that Christ, friends, you'll never come to him if you don't take the right approach. If you don't care what he wants and you want to just live however you want. Well, I got free from the church and now I'm free. Well, don't use that. Don't live like the world. Don't have a second childhood and go out and sow your oats. That's what happens so many times. We got a small window so much of the time. People get set free from this church or that church. We got to get them to Christ. If we don't get them to Christ, the world will get a hold of them. Now, if that makes you mad, that just means you're not born again. Because if you're born again, you know I'm not talking about you. If it makes you mad, at least I got a reaction. There ought to be a reaction one way or another here tonight, friends. From every one of us. Whether it's a hallelujah or oh my or help me Lord or whatever. It's not the time to play around. What I'm trying to tell you is that the standard is so high in this hour that if we're not careful, we'll compare ourselves with one another. Well, I'm just a little bit ahead of brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Yeah, all of us might not even be in the race. The standard is higher than that. When somebody slaps you, do you get upset about it? Are you sighing and crying for the sin that's done in the city? Are you meek? Are you gentle? Do you want to straighten the pastor out? Do you get upset over anything? Well, the very first time you're told you shouldn't do this, the Lord told me to show you that. Is that it? Been going here 12 years and all of a sudden that's it? You're lacking something. The Spirit of Christ will receive correction. And if you are filled with the Spirit, you will humble yourself. If you are filled with the Spirit, you'll want to be part of the solution. If you're filled with the Spirit, you won't want to be part of the problem. If you're filled with the Spirit, you won't be up and down with people problems. If you're filled with the Spirit, you'll receive... Oh, friends, we're going to preach tonight. I hope somebody stays, but we're going to preach. Are you carrying complexes around? Well, I was so hurt at such and such a place. And because I was so hurt, don't you dare touch this and that, because I'm touchy. You need to meet Christ. Come on, friends. It's just the truth. It's a crying shame that you come into the presence of the Lord and don't take advantage of it. Healing is here tonight. He can heal your broken heart. Oh, you don't know what I've been through. You have no idea what I've been through. or anybody else for that matter. We've all been through something. But let him heal you. Let him deliver you. Let him set you free. Friends, that's the greatest testimony that there is. Look at our prophet. He would have been a murderer. He would have been a drunk. He would have smoked. He would have drank. He had a temper that would fight a buzzsaw. You hear him talking about the policeman that poisoned his dog, Fritz. He got his gun. He would have been a murderer again. He set out to go shoot him. His daddy saw that. His daddy got in the car, ran after him, got him to settle down. Your prophet's testimony was, a few years later, the Lord got a hold of me, and I got saved. And I led that man, that policeman, I led him to Christ. So if you're sitting here tonight with, oh, this one hurt me, and that one hurt me, and this pastor is going to be the same way, and I'm just, you know, damaged goods, you need to meet him. Because he'll heal you. Yes, there'll be a scar there from things that you went through. But you'll be able to, we will be able to see that you're healed. Amen. Listen, friends, I've listened to people, tell stories of things that happened to them. And they got a chip on their shoulder. They got an open wound that hasn't healed. And they carry it around with them. But I knew something was different. The very first tape that I heard, I'm listening to a guy that had to pat water to a still. That saw women getting drunk and sleeping with people that weren't their husbands. Him having to, he didn't have a shirt to wear. He's wearing a coat to cover up his nakedness. The teacher says, are you cold? Yeah. Well, why don't you come sit by the stove? Now he's cooking. What I'm trying to get at, friends, when I was listening to this, I had the biggest pity parties on the earth. Because I had been through this and I had been through that. No, I'm not going to tell you what it is. There's no point. All I'm telling you is I was bitter. And I had malice in my heart. I wouldn't kill anybody, but in my heart, I wanted somebody to be hurt. And I sure wasn't forgiving. And the worst part about it was I was right in what I was feeling. And here I'm listening to this guy tell on himself. He went through this, and he went through that, and he went through this, and he went through that. And in the end, I'm listening to him, and I can tell he's healed. He has no bitterness. There's forgiveness. There's love. And I'm thinking, finally, I've seen this. It's real. I've never seen it anywhere else. It's real. Whatever he has, I don't even know what he believes. But whatever he has, I want that. I don't want to be this way. I don't want to carry this heaviness. I don't want to carry this unforgiveness. I don't want to be a skeptic all the time, a doubter. I don't want to be, as some of you are, the expert because you don't want to be deceived. That means your pastor can never tell you anything. I was there at one time. I know how that is. I'm going to run everything through the filter. I trust myself and nobody else. But God. But God. There's a reality. Whatever your situation is, whatever your background is, there's a living God here. Whatever you've been through, there's healing. You need to shoot an arrow tonight. You need to fling it and say, God, set me free from that. Heal my heart. Help me to trust once again. Help me to trust you. Help me to trust the ministry that you placed me under. Because if I don't trust them, I'm not trusting you. And if I'm not trusting you, you can't help me. You need to fling another arrow.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, but I got the Holy Ghost. You don't.
Right.
If that's where you're at.
Right.
But you can.
Yes.
If you can humble yourself like all of us had to do.
Right.
Listen, I had as much religion as anybody else. I could have played the same card. Well, I've been going to church and of course I got the Holy Ghost. I cried this one time. I this one time. So what? You can have the Holy Ghost on you every hour of the day and still not have the Holy Ghost. We're talking about in the soul. And if it's in the soul, you will be a new creature. You will not be making excuses. You will just be an end time overcomer. You will be what this word says instead of trying to be what this word says. Come on, church. I feel like I'm being picked on. Well, then it is for you. Come on, friends. Are we feeding daily on the word? Is there somewhere we'd rather be than here? Well, how about Bible study? The five of you that come. What's the rest of you doing? Just saying. Well, I'm busy with this, and I'm busy with that, and I'm busy with the other. You're doing what you want to do. What's more important to you? Look, friends, about the third of the church needs some teaching. And the fourth of the church that's coming has already been taught. But they want, they're asking questions. They want to hear more. If you got a pastor that'll tell you the truth, you should thank God. And you should pray for him. If you think this is easy, try it. Let me know how it works out. Don't settle for churchianity. Don't settle for church membership. Don't settle for, well, I got set free from this. There's more. Don't settle for anything less than a personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this church is all about. I realize that we have to use terms like message and messenger. We use those terms because we need to do that. But that isn't the theme. The theme is Christ. And this message foreruns Christ. Introduces you to Him. Help us, Lord. Are we putting up with complexes in our life? Pull another arrow. Are we putting up with, I'm so unhappy. Pull another arrow. Are the virtues on display in our lives? Or do we still have a temper that would fight a buzzsaw? And then we get mad at the person that pushes our button. You ought to just get mad at your button. Because if you didn't have a button, it couldn't be pushed. You know what happens if you kick a dead man? Nothing. He doesn't go, ouch, oh, ugh. Nothing. Don't set your sights low. There's nobody in this world that I hold anything against. And I wasn't that way before. There's nobody in this world that I won't forgive. And I wasn't that way before. It took Him. Only He can do that, friends. Nothing else will work. Is your life characterized by humility? Sweetness? Or how about this one? If I haven't pushed a button yet, how about this one? Have you ever persecuted another Christian? If you have, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Because bride, there's a quote for it. I don't need a quote. There's scripture for it. But there's a direct quote. Bride never persecutes bride, ever. I've never done it. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you won't do it. Come on, friends. Let's don't play church, pretend church. Let's go all the way. Let's pull every arrow. Let's get every bit. Are you struggling with people problems? Let's just say it. You're not born again. I can't believe you said it. That's mercy. That's grace. That's a tender hand of Jehovah. Because Christ doesn't have people problems. Listen, here's the bottom line. I preached it 50,000 different ways. Here's the bottom line. If Christ is in you, you realize I deserve death. Amen. So what's all this about your rights and you don't deserve this? You don't deserve. They did this to me. They did that. And they can't. Right? You deserve death. And you're not getting it. So now you want to talk about who deserves this and who deserves that? You're not getting what you deserve. So why do you want somebody else to get what you think they deserve? It takes Christ to bring that out in your life. I'm not saying you won't make mistakes. I'm not saying that you won't, maybe in a time of real pressure, something will come out and you wished you hadn't have done it. But if you are born again of the Spirit of God, you won't rest. And something in you will say, I can't rest until I make that right. You won't make excuses for it. You won't blame other people for it. You'll make it right. Help us, Lord. Well, how about this one? This is my personal favorite. Entitled. We have too many entitled church members in this hour. Where did that idea come from? Where's the humility in that? Entitled. You know, I'm just here for a position. I'm just here to be respected by everybody. I'm just here for people to think that I'm a pillar. I'm just here to, you know, make myself feel good and to get other people to serve me. Well, why would you say that? Because all the complaints are about what other people are doing or not doing for you. And the question is, what are you doing for? That's the only question that even matters. Brother Henry, go start the car, would you? Keys are in the drawer. I think I got some running shoes. I might need to put them on. We are preaching Jesus Christ. Amen. And we are trying to get as many as we can to meet him. To fall in love with him. When you meet him and you fall in love with him, he will heal you. He will deliver. Friends, I'm not just talking physical healing, emotional, spiritual. No matter what's happened to you in your background, there's healing. We're not going in the rapture one arm off and maimed and grabbing a hold with our fingernails. Shh, Lord, if you hadn't have come, I just barely made it. That you got the wrong picture. The right picture is Satan is going to beg us to leave. You see the first Exodus? Pharaoh paid him to leave. They said, we're not leaving right now. I still got loved ones. We're not leaving now because we got this or that. It finally came to the place where Pharaoh paid them to leave. Right? You are ruining, if you are truly a born again son or daughter of God, walking in the fullness of the word, you are Satan's nightmare. Yes. Because you are ruining his Eden. Yes. Why do you think things get so bad when you're gone? Think about this for a moment, friends. This is good. Fresh. There's not going to be any more devil here when we're gone than there is now. 200,000 demons, 200 million demons were released from the river Euphrates. to come against natural Israel, to drive her in her homeland. Now she's coming against spiritual Israel, the bride, driving her into her homeland of the word. There won't be one bit more devil here in the tribulation period than there is now. So why isn't there a tribulation period right now? Because you're here. You're in the way. He that letteth now letteth till he be taken out of the way. Because Christ is here in a body, Satan can't have preeminence. There's going to be a big black eye. Why do you think he's so mad once the church is taken off the scene? Because he couldn't get her. So he's just in some kind of a fury. Now he's trapped down here and we're up there. If you're here, Christ is here. If Christ is here, Satan doesn't have free reign. This goes way beyond church membership. This is not a social club. We've had people over the years, friends, we started this work in 1994, 29 years ago. We didn't ask any of your opinions. We didn't take a vote on what the bylaws of the church ought to be. We did this because God put it on our heart. And the whole purpose of doing it is to bring people to Christ. That's the whole purpose, the whole motive. But we've had people come and join us along the way. Oh, they rejoice for a little bit, have a little honeymoon. But then whatever their issues were that they bring from other places that they're not willing to, for the Lord to deal with, they'll come out. It's just, you are what you are. Next thing you know, they want to change the church. They were just happy to be here. But now they want to change it. Right. Does that sound like a born-again believer? Come on, you ought to just real quickly be able to say, no. Right. You can't be born again of the Spirit of God and think you're in charge. Right. You're not in charge.
That's right.
He is.
Right.
Well, what about you? You know what? I'm nervous because I think people are putting you on a pedestal. I'd like to know some of these people if they're putting me on a pedestal. I'd like to take you, if you think that, I'd like to take you around with me and see the abuse that I put up with. The long suffering that I put up with. If that's true, why do I read the quotes where Brother Brown said, the pastor, not the church. Those places where the pastor wants to rule over you, they don't read those quotes. Well, you're trying to tell us, no, you need to learn his voice. If you learn to hear his voice, you'll realize it's his voice speaking to you. And you'll receive it. If you think it's my voice, then you'll think somebody's being an ogre. Friends, we're going to have a revival. And this is a recipe for revival. You got to dig out the ditches. Right? Because if you want the Holy Ghost to be poured out and flow, there needs you got to dig some stuff up. There needs to be some repentance. There needs to be some humility. Right? There needs to be a recognition, I need more of you. Now, if you feel like you're being picked on here tonight, just remember your pastor told you, I want more of him. I need more of him. And I'll never be ashamed to say that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is not a place to come and check the box. This is not a place to come, excuse me, to just focus on the message and the messenger. I didn't say we won't.
It has its place. But to just focus on the message and the message, not, that's not this place. Because your messenger was pointing you to someone. Our goal is to point you to the bridegroom. The true Christ of the Bible. This message will show you what happens when that one is preached and is invited amongst us. It's proof. But we're not living off of that. We want that to happen now. We're entitled to our own revival. Somebody say, praise the Lord. How many arrows are we willing to shoot? We've got a week of meetings coming up. I think it would be good for each and every one of us to do a checkup. I do that every time I come to church. To do a checkup, look for those things that we have need of to be added, and to get every bit of oil that we can. To take advantage of the deliverance that comes from only by Christ the Word, and to be ready to receive. We live in such a lukewarm age, friends. I'm pulling over here in just a minute. There's a great contrast between a lukewarm church member and a born-again believer. Because that born-again believer has been set on fire, and you can't put that fire out. So that lukewarm believer can't become lukewarm. Or excuse me, that believer that's born again of the Spirit of God that's on fire can't be lukewarm. You can't put that fire out. That fire will burn in them to the day of Jesus Christ. There's no reason to be living below our privileges. You know, the hour is going to come. And maybe it's upon us now that some are going to wake up and they're going to find that they don't have that life. Yet they'll be good people, nice people, sweet people, sanctified, washed by the water of the Word. But it'll be too late to get serious then. The time to receive it is now. But it'll take a dying out. It'll take a casting down of foolish pride. It'll take somebody that can say from the depths of their soul, I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody says. Well, what are they going to? Who cares? They who? This is you and him. Someone that will say, I admit I don't have what he promised, but I want it. I want more than a church membership. I don't care if people treat me nice or not. I'm not making demands. I'm not looking at the church trying to correct the church. Friends, if you're looking at the church trying to correct the church and seeing problems with the church, it's because you're not looking at him. Don't you think he sees the church? Don't you think he knows what's going on? Somebody that's willing to say, I surrender all. I want to close with this tonight. Matthew chapter 22, starting at the second verse. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And he sent for his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. So these are ministers and people aren't listening to them. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. How's that any different than I got work, I got this, I got that? You're always going to have those things. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? Everybody else does. And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. You've probably heard this many, 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 many times. But we're going to hear it for the last time someday. This one was called friend, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost. The wedding garment is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, friends, there's been many, many years where if you stand for an old-fashioned meeting, you stand at the gate of Pentecost, you stand for a birth. I'm not talking about an emotion. I'm not talking about a gift. I'm talking about Christ making himself real to you. You stand for that. You stand for an old-fashioned meeting where people can shout and worship and get delivered, and you'll be called a fanatic, and you'll be an oddball. But according to this parable, there's a time coming where the oddball is the one that doesn't have the Holy Ghost. Now, how is it that he didn't get the Holy Ghost? He didn't come through the door. The door is the Word, Christ. The only way you'll get the Holy Ghost is through the Word. There's no other way. You've got to meet him personally, and he will give you that wedding garment. Now, how is he going to give that to you and you don't know that he gave it to you? How is it that you won't know that you met him? That's the bottom line. Do you know that you know that you know? What does your life testify of? What are your desires? This one came in some other way besides the Word. He bypassed the Word. He had not met the Word personally. They were thrown into outer darkness, bound hand and foot, where there's weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. That's the tribulation period. This is gonna happen. It's gonna play out. Now, if he'd have come through the door like everybody else, he would have had the garment. Let me just read this questions and answers on the seals. Question number 31. Brother Branham, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. Please explain who the man in Matthew 22:11, the man that didn't have on a wedding garment. I know this man couldn't get into heaven without the wedding garment on. This was a guest, I know, not the bride. Yes, that's right. He would be a guest. Yep. He just slipped in. It just take a whole sermon on that, and I got 10 minutes to pray for the sick and finish this up, and I've got one half of them done, but notice, and I'm going to hurry, right, sure enough, after this one, see? Here's what happened. If you know the Oriental custom, when a bridegroom gives out invitations for his wedding, he just gives out so many invitations. And for every invitation he sent, he had a porter standing at the door to put a robe on him. Whether he was poor or whatever he was, if he was rich or poor, whatever it was, all had to wear this wedding garment. When they stood at the door, they put this on him. It covered up what his outside had been. Whether he was a millionaire or whether he was a pauper, whether he was a farmer, a ditch digger, or whatever, a plutocrat, whatever that is,
He's here with the robe on now because the robe's put on him at the door when he enters at the door. Now take St. John chapter 10, I believe it is. He said, I am the door. I am the door that you enter in by. Now, there he stands at the door. Here's the man that put the robe on him, the Holy Spirit, to give him the robe of righteousness when he comes in. Now, this man had come by some organization or back at the window over here, some slip-in hole. And he got in at the table and sat down. And when the bridegroom comes up and looks around, these had been, he's speaking of those that are Holy Ghost filled. Listen to how he says it. These had been odd ducks before. Now he's the odd duck. What are you doing here like that without the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all these things? How did you ever get in here? Well, he come in somewhere besides the door. He come without proper invitation. See, he come by some educational system or something like that. He got in and said to them, bind him hand and feet, cast him out here into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. See, he went into the tribulation period. See, he did not come by the door. Friends, there are those that still need the wedding garment. There are those that have the wedding garment. If you have the wedding garment, you should be praying for those that don't have the wedding garment. Something in you should be stirring. Something in you, you should be praying for one another. Something in you should be burdened. Something in you should recognize. Listen, just think of it this way. If you were living in Luther's day and there were people amongst us that didn't see that the just shall live by faith, they didn't see that you don't have to kiss toes off of statues, they didn't see that communion, the symbols of communion, was not the literal body and blood, you'd know that they're not embracing that message. You'd want them to walk in the fullness of that message, wouldn't you? If you had were walking in Wesley's message and you saw somebody that was still looking at naked women out on the streets and not turning their head, you'd know that they aren't walking in Wesley's message. This is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is the new Spirit cleaning you up. If you saw someone that was tattling and backbiting and running through the church, you'd know that they were not walking in Wesley's message. This is a couple of church ages back, friends. The church is so short. But he's long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that long-suffering will end. The challenge that I face is I got these young men up here in the front, right? Along with all the others. But I've got these young men here in the front. And they're seeing people play churchianity. And they're seeing people living any kind of... They see people come and go from the church and claim to be a pillar, wanting to be respected, throwing hand grenades on the way out. What are they supposed to think? This is Christianity? Guess I don't have to do any more. Listen, brothers, there's a whole lot more than what you're seeing. He promised it. Just get your eyes on him. Don't look at anybody else. Don't look at what other people are doing. Don't listen to all the debates and argue. That's just a distraction. If any of us is getting caught up in it, you need more of God. Your eyes should be on him. Everything in you should be focused on Christ. And if you are united with him, you'll be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And you'll be a force to be reckoned with. Listen, friends, there's a super anointing that's going to be poured out just before he comes. Who's it going to be poured out on? The backbiters? The church hoppers? The proud? It's going to be poured out on those that are in a relationship with him now. This is love.
Will you? I should have asked you at the beginning of the service. It's too late. But I'll ask you anyway. Will you let me preach this for these guys?
Sure.
How many want to see them just burning? Like a house on fire on a windy day.
Amen.
Just talking about the Lord all the time. Encouraging people, saying, hey, I understand what you're going through. I'll pray for you. But what I want you to know is we serve a living God. He's on the scene. When I had this need, He did this for me. When I had that need, He did that for me. He's not just a story. He's a living God. And He's doing this for me and that for me. My mom needed this and I prayed and God did that. How far are we willing to go with the word? How many arrows are we willing to shoot? And for others, friends, there's deliverance that's unclaimed yet. If we just be honest.
Right.
We put up with this and with that. And we're saying to ourselves, someday. And Brother Bram said, get that out of your mind.
Right.
That someday is today. What you need is not coming. It's here.
Amen.
But we've got to walk in it. We've got to claim it.
Right.
Take possession. And for all of us, there's more oil to be had.
Amen.
Let's stand tonight. Now, if you look for me tomorrow, I'll be under an oak tree up there. I ain't telling you where I'm going. I love you. And I want to see you happy. I want to see you delivered. I want to see you overcoming. I want to see you feeling loved. I want to see you as He wants to see you. And myself too. I want more.
Yes.
There's more to be had. But friends, we just need a shaking sometimes. We need a checkup sometimes. You know, if you've went down this list and everything's fine, well, praise the Lord. But you're not going by yourself. Maybe there's a young brother or sister that you could be praying for. Maybe there's somebody in the church that doesn't look like they have any friends. Maybe there's somebody that's discouraged. If Christ is in us, we got enough Christ that He can love them through us, right? He has no hands but ours, no feet but ours. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before You, Lord. Lord, I pray that I know that this message is kind of cutting, and that we know that there has to be a cutting before there can be a healing. There has to be a taking out before there can be a refilling or adding back in. We know, Lord, that You came to set us free. And to whom the Son has set free, they are free indeed. But Lord, we've got to be willing to walk in all that You've purchased for us, all that You've claimed, all that that's available to us this evening, Lord. Not be lukewarm about it, not put it on spiritual cruise control. When we put it on spiritual cruise control, we're not even paying attention to the driving anymore. Lord, we want to look at each and every day when we get up in the morning as a new day, a new opportunity. We want to recognize that anything's possible with every new day when we get up. We need to recognize, Lord, You've got some here in the body that just take pictures first thing in the morning, and they're lovely pictures and they're inspiring, and it shows what's taking place in their heart. They're thankful. They're
They're embracing the day, and they're walking into it, and they're optimistic about the direction of the day, and they're seeing evidence of it even in nature. Seeing how you testify even in nature that it's a new day, it's fresh, clean. No matter what happened the day before, it's a new day. Lord, we want to approach every day. Life is for the living, and the living are living one day into the next day, into the next day. We don't want to become numb or lukewarm, or we certainly don't want to put it on cruise control. We know, Lord, that you can shout your shoes off and be lukewarm. So it's not a matter of how loud we are. It's not a matter of how energetic we are, or how much we scream or whatever. That can become a routine. It can come to the place where our heart's not in it. We're just going through the motions. We want our heart to be in everything that we do, Lord. Recognizing that your heart's in everything that you do. Lord, you're everything that you said you are. And you just want to prove it to us. Help us tonight, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd sweep through the building. I know, Lord, that there's healing that needs to take place. Lord, we are certainly not without compassion. Lord, you are moved by the infirmities, by the feelings, what each and every one of us has gone through, and you want to be that healer. But more than that, Lord, you want them to recognize that they called upon you, you healed them, and now you're their healer. And they'll know you in a way that they wouldn't have known you before. And they'll know that you're the only healer that there is. Nobody can heal our heart like you. Nobody can heal our heart. We can have counseling for this and that. Those things are fine, but you bring deliverance. And Father, when you heal, yes, there's a scar, but it's a memorial. It goes from a gaping wound to something that's healed up that we can point back to. Say, this is where the Lord did this for me, and I was no longer the same. Yes, that happened to me in my life, and yes, it hurt, and yes, it did this or that, but it's no longer controlling my life. It's not changing me. It's not holding me back. God has healed me of that so that I can be who I am in Christ. Not be a victim. Not be defined by what happens to me, but defined by who I am in you. Defined by Christ that's within me. Lord, I pray for a special touch, Lord, to different ones. There's a lot of heartaches here tonight, Lord. A lot of sorrows. A lot of disappointments. And Lord, our hearts go out. But there's healing here tonight, Lord. If we're willing to just knock an arrow here tonight, Lord, shoot it into the ground, say, Lord, I want your healing tonight. I want the deliverance that you've promised. Lord, I believe that you've done it for this one or that one. I believe these testimonies. I believe that you did it for our messenger. I want it in my life. If that's you tonight, friends, nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's somebody here tonight that would just be honest, just forget about everybody else, and realize the great physician is here tonight. Somebody that would be willing to lift your hand and say, God, I need you to heal my heart. I've been wounded. I've been hurt. And I need that healing. I need your healing power to flow through me. So I'm just going to surrender. I'm going to put it into your hands, Lord, and I'm going to trust you that you're going to bring that healing. If that's you, Lord, you see those hands all over the building. I pray that you touch each and every one. Lord, it's very real. It's very painful. It's not something that we can do ourselves. It's not something a psychologist can fix or a doctor. We appreciate all the aids and the help that can come along the way, but nobody can heal us. Only you can. And I believe tonight, Lord, as you've healed me, I believe, Lord, that you're going to do the very same thing to those that have raised their hand in the building. And Lord, there's certainly, the devil wants us to be ashamed that we have a need. The devil ought to be ashamed that he can't admit that he has a need. And because of that, he's going to burn burn in the flames of hell. But Lord, we're a needy people, each and every one. We need you, and it's a privilege and an honor to be able to call upon you tonight, Lord, knowing that you're moving on our behalf. Lord, your presence is here. I preached your word. And Father, if you don't confirm this by bringing these changes in the lives of the people here tonight, then I'm a false minister. But Lord, I can say that with courage, and I can say that with boldness here tonight, because it's not me that's on the line, it's your word. I preached your word, Lord. You put it on my heart, and you know how hard it is, Lord. You know how I'd rather run from it. But you put it on my heart to bring this tonight. And Lord, you will perform what you said that you would do as they take you at your word. I wonder if there's someone here tonight that say, I have a physical need. Maybe I've been putting it off, or maybe I haven't found the faith yet to believe that God wants to set me free of this thing or that. But I want to shoot, I want to fire an arrow into the ground. I want to take God at his word. I want to confess that he's my healer. And if I don't have the faith, I want to say, Lord, help my unbelief, but I believe you. And I'm holding out for you to do this in my life. And it's a privilege and an honor to stand upon your word. If that's you, why don't you just lift your hand tonight? Father, you see those hands, different hands all over the building. Father God, you are the great I am. And Lord, if you don't do what your word says that you would do, then your word isn't true. And Lord, I hesitate to, it's an awful sound to even make to come out of my lips, but I can say that because I know that your word is true, and that you will bankrupt heaven before you allow one promise to go unanswered. Lord, if they'll take you at your word, you'll perform it, and I believe it tonight, Lord. I'm praying with my brothers and my sisters tonight. I wonder if somebody tonight would want to say, you know, I realize I don't have that life. I realize I've accepted the Lord as my Savior. I've seen that he's changed my desires. I've seen that he's taken old habits from my life. I want to go to church. I want to be around. I want to hear the word and all that, but I don't have that. I know that I know down in my soul. I don't have that witness. And I want to believe that he's going to give me that. It's his promise. I want to admit that there's something more that I need. So I'm going to lift my hand and I'm going to say, Lord, I'm a candidate. I'm looking for you to fulfill your word in my life. I'm not looking for a sensation. I'm not looking for I want you to confirm it. I want you to confirm to me that I am yours. If that's you and you want to just lift your hand tonight, Father, you see those hands. There's several hands, and I'm so happy to see it tonight, Lord. I'm so happy because, Lord, if you did it for me, you'll do it for anyone. Lord, God bless those hands, all the hands that have been raised up to this point. Bless each and every one. Bless those humble hearts. I thank you for the hunger and thirst that you've given them, because, Lord, you said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. So we're blessed to have that. If we didn't have that thirst, we wouldn't ask. But there's that desire here tonight, Lord, and I know you're going to fulfill your word. So, Father, we're in expectation. May each and every one, Lord, that's raised their hand, may they be in anticipation, and may they be confessing to you, Lord, I believe your word. I believe that you said this. I've met your requirement. And, Lord, when anything comes into their mind that tries to rise up above that, to tell them if there's something that they need to make right, maybe may they make that right. But, Lord, if it's something that the enemy's saying you're not worthy, may it just rise up in them. You're right, I'm not worthy, but he is. If something rises up, well, you're no good because you did this or that. May it rise up in them, yes, but I put that under the blood. It's gone. God doesn't even see it. I stand before him unaccused. whatever the enemy might present to him to cause him to worry or doubt. Lord, may your word just rise up in them. May they rest, Lord, in expectation and anticipation. It could happen right now. It could happen tonight. It could happen. Father, when that faith drops down, you will confirm your word. So, Lord, we're praying for each and every one. And we thank you, Lord, that you're still pulling. You're still calling. I don't believe it's too late. I know the door is going to close soon. Lord, we see a revival in the natural ranks taking place in the eastern part of the country. I know some would speak against it, and I know some would have that kind of entitled attitude and say, well, that's not the bride, and that's not the revival that was promised to the bride. But, Lord, we know in the parable of the sower that there was wheat and there was tares. They both cried out for revival, and the rain fell on both of them. And they both rejoiced. We know, Lord, that that revival is not our revival, but why would we not want them to receive whatever it is that they're receiving? Why wouldn't we want to see them to... There's nothing wrong with the rain. It's the same rain. We know it's falling on the flesh or the spirit realm, but why would we want to withhold that? But it's also a sign when they start coming looking for that oil. We know how that it's getting closer and closer, that the bridegroom is coming. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us would reconsecrate ourselves to your service. We ask that your spirit would search each and every one of our hearts, Lord, and if there's anything that's not pleasing, that you make it known to us, Lord. We'll be real quick to repent and give it over to you, Lord. We're looking for great things. We're expecting great things. You've promised great things. And Lord, we're looking for more deliverance, for more of you, more of your life. We're looking for more seed, Lord. Will not stop. We won't rest until that last one comes in, and we don't know who it might be. So, Lord, may we be guilty of telling everybody that we can that there's the Jesus of the Bible is here tonight, that he's with us, that every time we come to church, he's here. He's with us wherever we go, but we can tell them that because they can come and see. Bless each and every one here tonight, Lord. Pray that you'd take these cutting words, Lord, not let the enemy convince anyone that it was meant for any other reason but love, to draw each and every one of us closer to you. Father, to see more of you amongst us. I pray that you move upon each and every heart. I pray that each one of us would be brought closer to you. I know that's your desire, Lord. That's certainly our desire here tonight. Thank you. We love you. We praise you. We give you all honor and glory. And Lord, we're in great expectation. We know that we're going to see more. We know that we're going to experience more. Lord, just bring us together in your great love. Just be a great baptism of love to flow through each and every one. Father, that if there's anything that the enemy would try to put between us, it'd just be squeezed right on out. Nothing here but your presence. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love you and thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Yes, Lord, you are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you.